I'm going to take the same topic or the same beginning point this Sunday as I did last Sunday. And if you haven't, and I know you have, if you put together this thought pattern, it takes me sometimes at least two lessons. And if you're counting time, that's 45 minutes per lesson. It takes a good hour and a half for me to get going, doesn't it, sometimes? So I'm very mindful of that. And when I sit back and think about it and count, and I'm like, oh, goodness, these people are going to think that I am terribly, terribly long-winded. And I don't know how to dissuade you from thinking that, because the proof is there, isn't it? So I try not to be overly long-winded with things, and I'm thankful that we have a structure of our time frame. But I'll be. Sometimes I have to speed it up, and sometimes I don't manage my time extremely well. All right, we're going to carry on from last Sunday, and sometimes when things that I am trying to build a lesson for, I realize I know where I'm going, but you don't. And sometimes it is so easy to get, for me to get involved in what I'm doing and what I'm saying, that I fail to convey in an articulate manner that point and how it applies to our lives. I can do it in general at times until I get to that point. Today, I'm going to take the time for us to understand how that the things that God has given us in His Word apply to current activities of our world today, and how we can involve ourselves in those. Every single one of us have an ability to impact our world. Every one of us. We have a God-given ability to impact our world. And the way we're going to do it is by adhering to the commission of the Word of God. Not by private interpretation. It is so easy for us to get caught up. And I know that we've heard the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we can't see a victory because of the battle. And we're so involved in the battle that we can't see the victory. We're going to see a victory today before we get finished with this. We're going to understand that the battle sometimes, though necessary, can be very distracting to the victory. So I want us to see the victory before we leave here today. I want us to understand how God wants us to be involved in our world, and how our involvement has far-reaching impact and far-reaching influence, not just impact, but influence. We're not just people. We're not just an isolated individual that is on an island of our own emotions. We have to have an understanding and a vision of victory, so that we are not encumbered with the battle. That's important for us to remember. Jesus had some words that he said, and I'm going to begin with this in St. John chapter number 14. And he gave us this admonition, this encouragement, this directive, if you will, from his own thought pattern toward us. And this is how he described our involvement was going to be. Jesus said, verily, verily, an hour terminology that's truly, truly. I'm going to tell you something that is true, and I want you to pay close attention to this, is what he's saying. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works, everyone say greater works. And greater works shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He stipulates this, he reiterates this, he reemphasizes this, and he repeats this very closely together. If you ask anything, I'm going to do it. If you do it in my name, if you ask this. Now, that's a powerful assessment of what he has given us, an open-ended approach if we do it in a certain way, isn't it? That's just what he says. I believe the word, don't you? I'm going to, hopefully I'll get to that, but if I don't, I'll get to it at a later time. I'm going to get to greater things, because I believe that God has given us one of the greatest opportunities in our lifetime to impact and influence our world by doing greater things. This is a time for greater things, right here. To expand the statement that it is hard to see the victory for the battle, I want us to understand, I want us to grasp that, and how that the writer in the wise man Solomon's writings, he said, if there is no vision, the people perish, didn't he? Remember that? It's really a very good verse. And then the latter part of that says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's all good. But to apply that, to realize what it means in our lives, I'm wanting to remind us just briefly of a story that is in the Bible, but let's not let it just be another story. Let's let it captivate our minds and convict our hearts, if you will. There happened to be a time that the people of God were being, set upon by the Syrians, and they were just coming out to fight them. And again, I realize that the Old Testament gives us these battles that happened in the natural aspects, and that reveals to us what is happening in the spiritual aspects in our era of time today, in the New Testament era, the era of grace, the dispensation of mercy and of grace. And I realize that. So let's remember that when we think about Syria that has come against the people of God. And every time they start out, they are circumvented. People of God are already there. And the king of Syria makes a statement, and he says, who's a spy in this camp? Somebody is telling them what we're doing. It's like they're listening to everything we say. And one of the guys steps up, and he kind of had been around a little bit more than some of them. And he said, well, sir, it's like this. There's a man down there. It's a man of God. And he knows what you say in your bedchamber. Well, let's go get him. Like he didn't already know his coming. Let's go get him. We can't have this. He said, I'm just telling you, we don't have a spy here. They got a man of God. Now, I would love to take just a little bit of time and expound on that and let you know that Sometimes, and you say, oh, well, how does the message sometimes, you ever had this happen? You'll be right in the middle of something in your life and you're struggling with something, and all of a sudden you hear a message and it speaks directly to what you're struggling with or you're facing. It does. And you're wondering, what has happened? How did this happen? Do you know what happens according to the wise man Solomon? He said this, he wrote this, and I like some of his writings. He said, be careful because a little bird will come by. And he'll tell the man of God what you've said in your bedchamber. There's a little bird comes along. It wasn't a parrot either. King, you don't realize there's no spy here. There's a man of God down there. Let me tell you what is vitally important in this time, in this era of time. We are not needing someone to stand in a pulpit and have so more degrees than a thermometer. I'm not against education. I'm all for it. I believe in education. Believe you me. I believe we should be learning and educating ourselves every single day of our life. Okay? I'm all for it. But the degrees, more than a thermometer, don't make a man of God. I have seen men of God that couldn't read the words on this page that I'm touching, but yet they could read your life. They could speak volumes of confidence into a life that was destroyed by whatever life had dealt them with, and bring them from the very pits of hell to a place of repentance. I've seen that happen. I've seen men that didn't know what one letter on these pages was saying. It was all Greek to them, so to speak, but could lay hands on the sick and see them recover. So what then makes a man of God? Oh, I have seen, literally, I have seen those that with all of the degrees and all of the letters and alphabet soup behind their name, and they had the same connection with God. And I've seen that as well. It's not about the religious. It's not about the education. It's about the connection with God. That's what it's about. So, this man of God, he knew what was coming. And he just happened to have a gentleman that was there helping him. And he went to get the morning paper that day, and he looked out, and here was the Syrians camped all around, and they were coming in to take him. And he runs back in the house, and he says, hey, we got problems. There's some stuff out here that's coming to get us. He said, what is it? He said, I'm telling you, there's a whole army out here. The man of God says something that should be repeated in our lives right now. He said, God, open his eyes that he may see. And he opened his eyes, and all of a sudden, he realized there was more with them. He said, hey, we got much more here. The host of heaven was in the round about, all of the hills around about. He said, there's more with us than there are with them. Absolutely. Now, I think this is important for us to realize what took place here. Because at the same time, the scripture tells us that the next few verses that the man of God just had a little word with God and said, smite him, and he smote the Syrians with blindness. Now pay attention to this. This is very, very important. For one, he opened his eyes, and for another, he closed his eyes. It's all in the same interaction here. It's all in the same life happening. But one has eyes opened and one has eyes closed. It was not about blindness of physical blindness as much as it was an understanding issue. One didn't understand and couldn't see through the eyes of the Spirit, and the other didn't need to see through the eyes of the Spirit. I thought we all should, huh? Let me tell you something that has happened in our world. And I will tell you this that is taking place right now in our world. You cannot debate with someone, and I am not speaking of physical blindness, but you cannot debate or convince someone that they're wrong when they're blind. You can't do it. So then what am I referring to? Let me tell you. The Bible tells us in the New Testament this verse, and he says, the God of this world hath blinded their minds. We never want to get to that place that God blinds our minds. So my prayer, as simple as it may seem, has great impact, as did the man of God at the time when the Syrians were attacking, when he looked and said, just open this young man's eyes. So my prayer to us and for us today is, let our eyes be opened. Help us to have understanding of the times. I'm reminded of Chronicles when David was just kind of minding his own business, and his world is getting all topsy-turvy all of a sudden, and he's kind of off over here by himself, and Israel starts coming to him because it was chaotic and troubling times, and everything was going awry, and Saul is dead now, and they're without proper leadership. And if you do a little bit of study, you'll find out that one of Saul's sons was actually the king after Saul died for a short period of time. We think, if you just study through the time lines of the history of Bible, and if you think the surface side of it is this, that Saul was the first king of Israel, and David was the second king of Israel, and then we have Solomon, and after Solomon, the kingdom was divided. We all know about those particular points, don't we? We have Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and it was divided, and we have some of the tribes going one way, some of the tribes going another way. Let me tell you something. If you do a little bit of deeper dive in the studying of the word, you'll find out that the kingdom was divided in Saul's time. Before David was to become the king of Israel, he was the king of Judah for 7 years. It's a lesson by itself, altogether, totally, totally separate. But he was a king of Judah. Judah pulled away from Israel during the time of Saul because they didn't agree with the directions that Saul was taking them. They pulled out, and they had joined themselves to David. This was the second time of David's anointing. David was anointed when Samuel came to the house of Jesse and anointed him to be the king of Israel. Then the men of Judah came to David and anointed him to be the king of them, of Judah. For 7 years, he was the king of Judah. Let me tell you, Judah means praise. Let me tell you what he had to learn. David had to learn how to lead worship and praise before he could step into the full leadership of God's power. Israel means power with God and man. He said, I'm changing your name from Jacob to Israel because now you have power with God and man. Let me tell you how this happens, ladies and gentlemen, and this is so important for us to realize today. Once we learn the power of praise and worship, what does praise and worship do in our lives? What does it do in our lives? Let me tell you how it works. It works in bringing ourselves under subjection to the power of God. That's what praise and worship is. It is bringing our minds to a focus on the greatness of God. David would write this and he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Why is that important? Because if we're not careful, we'll never see a victory because we're wound up in the battle. But when we magnify the Lord, we're able to see victory before and during the battle. It doesn't mean the battle doesn't happen. It just means we already know the outcome. That's just what happens. That's why David was so ordered by God in his steps to follow that leadership, and he was setting some precedents and setting some examples for us as believers to understand the necessity of having an order of God in our lives. And David was a leader, a king over Judah, over praise and worship for 7 years. And then all of a sudden, we have Israel, that all of Israel starts coming to David. And this is where it gets very important to me. This is why I think this is so powerful. There were just a small number of the children of Issachar, of the tribe of Issachar, and they joined to David. And they came first. You'll find this in the book of Chronicles. And they said, "David, we're coming to you because we want you to be our king." And this is what it says about them. Issachar was a small tribe, but the Bible says this about those men. They understood, they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And all of their brethren were at their command. They didn't lord it over them, but everybody else understood that these were men of wisdom and they had a connection with God. And whatever they said, "We'll do it." Whatever the tribe of Issachar said, these men that joined themselves to David, the rest of the guys, they would say, "Yep." You know why? Because we trust these guys. They have a connection with God. We need to have some men of God in this era of time right now that have a connection with heaven. I know years and years ago, and somebody has asked me multiple times, "Well, what is your," it's been one of these things for a lot of my life. How do you study for this and how do you study for that? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. How I study, my dad taught me something years and years and years and years ago when I was just a young man. He said, "You don't study for a message, you study the message." Well, that made a lot of impact on me. I learned something from that. I was sitting and talking one time to a young man that wanted to wow the people and whatever, and that's all beside the point. And he started asking me, "Did I listen to this and did I listen to that?" And I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Man, I have hundreds of tapes and DVDs and I listen." And he said, "Man, I make notes all day long and I'm writing." I said, "Well, okay." He said, "Is that not how you get a message?" I said, "No. How do you get a message?" I said, "Let me tell you how I get a message. I learned where an altar is." I learned where an altar is. And I also learned how to read the Word of God. I'm not the best speaker, but I can tell you there are a few things in the Word of God that you can mention that I haven't read. Very few. Since then, in the later part of my life thus far, I will listen to a preacher and he'll come across something and I'll say, "Oh, whoa, wait a minute. That is not what the Bible says. That's not what it says. Nope. Let's back up and let's read that again. That's not what it says." Of course, he can't hear me. I'm not talking about in church place. he can't hear me. My wife can.
Well, what does it say? I'll have to tell her. There's just very few things that you mention in the Word that, do you know why? Because I was taught at an early age to be a student of the Word. Do you know what I aspire at this point in my life? I will tell you what I aspire to be. Is a man that's pleasing unto God. That's what I aspire to be. I want to have eyes of understanding. I want to be able to know what is really going on in our world. And I want to tell you what thus saith the Word of God. That is important. So this young man, he says, okay, I see there's more with us than there are with them. And he says, yeah, you got it. Let's go. Let's go talk to him. You mean we're going to talk to him? Yeah, let's go talk to him. And so he goes out there and talks to him. He said, hey, we're looking for a man of God. Hey, you just follow me. Come on, I'll take you right on here where we're supposed to go. And that's what he done. And they just follow right along with him. The whole bunch of them, the whole army follows along with this man of God and his servant. And they just go right along, just talking, carrying on back and forth, talking about the weather probably, and talking about the different things that's going on in life. And they get them to the king of Israel. And the man of God says, now open his eyes. The king says, what do you want me to do? Now he's the king. He's the king. But what he does is important. It's a little bitty detail. It's just easily glossed over. But he turns to the man of God and asks him what he should do. It doesn't matter where we get in our lives. We need to have a man of God in our lives. We really do. And I'm not just talking about as a friend. No, we need a man of God in our lives. We need a man of God. Occasionally I'll get words from a man of God that are in my life, men of God in my life. You need to read this. God spoke to me and told me to tell you this. I need men of God in my life. The king looked at him and said, what should I do? What is it you think I ought to do? He said, feed them. Just give them a meal. I think I ought to kill them. No, just feed them. And about that time, I guess he just kind of stomped his foot or bumped his rod on the ground or slapped his thigh. He might have even took his hat and kind of dusted it off. Whatever it was, something happened, and the Syrians' eyes were opened. And they realized, oh, my, I'm in the wrong place. No, they were in the right place. But they just had no understanding of where they were until God opened their eyes. Let me tell you what's going on in our world right now, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on in the world right now is a total attack on the things of God. It is good versus evil. It is right versus wrong. It's the forces of heaven and the forces of hell. And there is an attack, an all-out attack on believing in God and the ability of God. It is an attack on our belief system. They try to tell us that men are not men and women are not women. And we can be whatever we choose to be, okay? If you are that delusional, you're just that delusional. I'm not. And I'm going to tell you, God's still on the throne. It's not about the battle. It's about the victory that we need to see. David had this, and I used this last Sunday briefly about him going to battle with Goliath, but I want you to pay close attention to how God opened his eyes and opened his mouth and in his understanding
about what was taking place. Goliath had offered a challenge. It had reverberated throughout the ranks of Israel. And all of these guys were afraid. But when this challenge came, it stirred something deep within David's life. And it was not there before the anointing. But when the anointing came, let me tell you what the prophet says. The anointing destroys the yoke. And this was a moment that David stepped up and brought to living color the words that Jesus said, "This is a time for greater things." And he said, "I'll do this." He didn't go there with this intention. He didn't go there with this desire. But when he heard the challenge, there was a hunger that stirred within his spirit. And when he began to look through the eyes of the Spirit, he saw victory before he ever got in the battle. And he said, "You come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you have defied this day. Today, I'm going to feed you, your flesh, to the fowls of the air." He's seeing a victory before the stone ever leaves the sling. Before it ever comes out of his little pouch, he's already seen a victory. Ladies and gentlemen, we are embroiled in a battle of survival right now. If they could, they would destroy the very essence of us able and the ability for us to gather together in the name of God. They would stop our ability to come together as a believer. They would destroy the very core values that we would try to teach to our children for the next generation. That's why they're trying to steal our children with the ideas and the ideology that they're promulgating from every point of the globe. That's why that they're trying. It's not about us having, if you don't know this, but they're wanting us to register every little pea patch that we have. Did you know that? If you've got a little garden out, they want you to register it so they can tell how much food we have. No. They're wanting us to be under their control, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what we're under. We're under the control of God. That's what we're under. This is not about us being of this nature or of that nature, of this political persuasion or that political persuasion. It has nothing to do with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an attack that's as old as time. Because from the beginning, the enemy of our soul has been attacking the belief system that God has put it into us. It is an inherent nature of man to worship God. In the very beginning, he put man in the garden, and he did it for a particular reason, so that he may dress the garden. If you read that and describe that and understand that from the Hebrew language, it was simply for him to be able to worship God. That's what it was about. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy of the soul came and spoke to them with a word, and he twisted the word of God at the very beginning, and he's been attacking the belief system and faith in God from that time on. Do you know what he's doing right now? It has nothing to do with what people call it transgenderism. It has nothing to do with who's in power over here or who's in power over there. It is light and darkness. They cannot coexist, ladies and gentlemen. It is right and wrong. They cannot coexist. We cannot just be compliant and sit back and allow the powers of darkness to come in and overwhelm the powers of right. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, according to Paul's writings. Though we walk in the flesh, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God. We need to have a connection with God like we've never had. So how does that affect me, and how can I impact my world? I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it does not matter about the situations that are being faced all around the globe. It matters of how we are connected with God. Very quickly, I will move to another story in the Old Testament of how this transpired.
Jehoshaphat was the king, finding all kinds of oppositions. And all of a sudden, he's tried everything, and there's no hope, and there's no help. And he finally calls for a prayer meeting. This was long before prayer meetings were known about. They'd go and do their sacrifice and pay their tribute and go on about their business. But he called a prayer meeting. He called an assembly. Get all the congregation together. Come together. And he got to praying. And while they were praying and supplicating before God, there happened to be a man to stand up in the midst and had a word from God for him. And the king had honor for the word of God. And he said, don't be dismayed. The battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. Yeah. He's repeating something that God had given to him years ago during the time of Moses and again in the time of Joshua. Battle's not yours. You go out, you won't have to fight, but just go out, just show up. You won't have to fight. It's the Lord's. That's what he said. So they went home, they go home, and they get a fitful night of sleep. And the next day they get up, and Jehoshaphat says, all right, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do something different. It's a little different today. We're going to put all the guys that are warriors. They're all wound up and ready and equipped. And we're going to put you back here, guys. I want everybody that's a singer and a musician, I want you to come up here. You're going to get up front. Pay attention to this. That was Judah. He got the tribe of Judah out front. And he put them out front and he said, now I want you to start singing when we get out here. Just sing. We're going to battle? You mean we're going to fight? No. That's not what I said. We're going to have choir practice. But I don't want you to stop at practice. I want you to let it break out. And let it become a worship unto God. And they did. They walked out there and they started singing and started worshiping God. And all of a sudden, God came in the midst of. And they were seeing victory before they ever had a battle. God came in the midst of this. And he began to confuse the enemy. Let me tell you, this is how you win before the fight. I understand. The question arises, as I said at the very beginning and onset of this lesson, how can I impact what is going on in the far reaches of our globe today? How can I change and how can I influence what is taking place in the leadership of this nation or the nations around the world? I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, learn how to connect with God. Because this is a time for greater things. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not out here to take a sign and make a protest and tell everybody, oh, I'm for this and I'm for that. Let me tell you how I'm going to tell them I'm for it. I'm going to say I'm for God, and if he's in me and all the world is against me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I understand that we're not in that kind of fight in a physical sense. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what we are in. We're in a fight for our lives. This is where we are. And the way to win is to step up and do some greater things. Do you know what it tells us about Moses? Moses was meek above all men, the Bible says. Let me tell you what that means. That's translated to this. Meekness is not weakness. No, it is controlled strength. When we understand the power of God and what we have the ability to do, according to Paul's writings to the church at Ephesus, and he said, God will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could even ask or think.
But he didn't stop there. He said, according to the power that works within you. We got something, ladies and gentlemen. This is a time for greater things right now. This is a time for greater things. So how do we impact and influence our world? I will tell you. When things are not going the way we think they ought to go, then we need to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to change the way we think. That came to Paul in the book of Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and they were talking to him, and they were saying, we got some issues, and we don't feel like we're adequate. And he looked at them, and he just made some kind of jargon. And it looked like when you read it, it sounds like a riddle. About like Samson talking to the Philistines with a riddle. And he tells them, he said, wait a minute. You're not straightened in us. You're straightened in your own bowels. That doesn't sound good, does it? That sounds like we need to see a GI doctor over that. Let's translate that from the Greek now. And let's understand the literal translation from that. Let's understand what he was saying. He said, you're not limited. That's what that word means, straightened. He said, you're not limited in us. We're not the limiting factor here. He said, you're limiting yourselves in your own thinking, in your own mind. Do you know what God does within us? There are no limits to God. He said, I've done all of these works. You've watched me do them. You've seen these people get up from the dead. You've seen the blinded eyes open. You've seen the deafened ears opened, and you've seen the dumb tongues loosed, and you've seen the lame to walk. But greater things than these. Do you know that the Spirit of God was not given to those disciples at the time that he sent them out to raise the dead and cleanse the leper and heal the sick? Did you realize that? He sent them out and he told them to do these things before the Holy Ghost was ever given to him. So then why did he bring about the Holy Ghost? We think it's some powerful thing. And don't get me wrong. If you've ever been sick, it's a powerful thing when God touches you, isn't it? But we think it's all tied to us being filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. There's people everywhere that get healed with the prayer of faith. They don't even know what Holy Ghost is. They just know what God is. Let me tell you why he gave us a spirit. Let me tell you why. So that we could speak to this mountain. A little different there, isn't it? Greater things. Greater things. We're faced with some insurmountable obstacles. And there's no way that we're going to see victory unless we have eyes of understanding. Because we will be caught up in the battle so much that we're distracted from the power of God. We need to see victory before the battle. Because this, right now, is the time for greater things. How do I do it? I'll tell you how. Ask and you shall receive. If you ask anything in my name, God, we're bringing into captivity those thoughts that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That's what we're doing. I bind it on earth. And as I do, he binds it in heaven. Is that not scripture? Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So let's not loose a tirade against someone. Let's loose the power of heaven against the power of hell. Let us bind the powers of darkness by loosing the powers of heaven. That's how I can impact and influence my world. This is a time for greater things. How many believe that today? You can influence this world. You can influence your world. Let's pray. God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for this opportunity to have our lives enlightened by the word. I'm asking God that we would be stirred and strengthened by what we have heard today and what you have said unto us. Let our ears be attentive and our hearts be receptive and our lives be responsive. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.